Recently, I came by a post on IG. It's more of a, like a reel. This girl, she was explaining why she is so desperate trying to meet up guys. Right? Well, you see everything on IG, right? So I was just flipping. Well, I'm trying to summarize her logic here, okay? Just summarizing her logic. So she was saying, I want to have a baby before I'm 32. Or maybe some of you saw that IG already, all right? I want to have a baby before I'm 32. Now, in order for that to happen, I will need a husband. Well, her logic, right? Her logic. Don't argue with that, right? But I want to spend some time with him before we have kids. I want to have, like, married life, but without kids. So, that means I'll need to be married when I'm around 28. So, a few years before having kids, a year to have kids. So, I need to be married before I'm 28. Now, I won't just married any random guy. I don't need time to date him. I don't need time to get to know him. I don't need time to understand him. That takes, like, time, right? I don't want to rush it. And then give it about a year to plan the wedding after he proposed. That means it's like 2, 3, maybe 4 years. So I need to have a steady boyfriend when I'm around 24. And she's saying, I'm 23 now. Now, don't you think I'm a little desperate to find a new guy? To find a guy to get married? Right. I don't know if you have thoughts like that. No, maybe you won't. Not the exact same thoughts. Or maybe you do. At least that's probably something in your head and you want it to happen like that. In any case, I think a lot of us do operate like that. At least in this mode of paradigm. We have a goal we want to achieve. So we set milestones. And we achieve those milestones in hope to strive for that goal. You want to be a skilled surgeon. You want to be the next Doctor Strange. So you work your butt off to study biology. You get good grades. So you hope to get into med school. You love playing video games. And you want to design your own video game one day. So you sign up for an apprenticeship at EA. Hope that they'll hire you and give you a permanent position. We all have goals and dreams for ourselves. One of those thoughts may be, I want to get a good job. I want to buy my dream car. I want to own a house one day. I want to get married and start a family. Those are all points on a map that you want to do. We set our goals. We plot our course. We follow it through. And eventually, after achieving all that we have set out for ourselves, we reach the final destination of that journey. This is life. When we can walk the path we set out for ourselves, bring fruition to all the plans, to all the milestones, check off those items on our bucket list, then we have lived a successful life, a fulfilling life, a life without regrets. But sometimes our path take a wrong turn. Maybe we made a mistake, we take a wrong decision, it goes off track. But we turn back to where we want to do. What we want to do. We remain focused. Stay committed. This is what the world calls resiliency. Being tough. Being focused. Persistent. However, there are times when our path gets hit hard. Interrupted. Without warning. Derailed, of course. Illnesses come so suddenly, it's like a slap on the face. The stock market can crash, turning years of saving into pillars of smoke. Life sometimes hits us hard, like a freight train. Ironically, it is only these dramatic moments, only these difficult junctions in life, that we're forced to slow down and ask, Is this all there is to life? Last week, Pastor Gabriel introduced us to Paula and Henry, the fictional character in our series. Paula's sudden medical diagnosis forced her to rethink and reconsider the path she was on. It is like receiving a wake-up call to reevaluate her life, a second chance to reprioritize her goals and dreams she has yet to achieve. And from the story of Nazareth, we learn that in Jesus Christ, there is resurrection and life. Actually, Jesus Christ is resurrection and life. It is because of Jesus Christ, because of the blood he shed on the cross, because of Jesus Christ, who was guiltless, blameless, flawless, sacrificing himself in obedience to the Father, freely and willingly taking on the sin of the world, died, buried, rose again on the third day. It is because of what Jesus Christ did that we regain and rebuild the eternal relationship with the Father. The one thing that grappled all of human history, the one thing that is inescapable for all, the one thing that humanity can never control is the very thing that Jesus Christ has defeated on the cross. Christ has defeated death. Christ has defeated death by death. Death is no more. Hence, we sing together with all the angels and the heavenly hosts in proclaiming, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Coming back to our life map. When the world thought death is the end point of this journey, Christ showed us it is not. There is more. Our journey continues. Death is merely a comma in God's eternity. Now, what if I tell you the beginning point of our journey isn't our birth? Before our mind takes its first thought, before we take our first step or say our first word, before our birth from our mother's womb, even before the formation of our being, before all that, God has us in his thoughts. God sees us and he knows us. Now, we didn't learn this because of some advanced scientific discovery, nor was it revealed to us from some parallel multiverse. No, this was written 3,000 years ago by a person without all the scientific knowledge that we have today. Yet, he vividly illustrates the intricacy and the meticulousness God puts into us. This evening, I want to turn to a passage from the book of Psalms, Psalms 139. Now, for me, I believe this is one of the most beautiful psalm in the whole Psalter. So often, when we read the scripture, we only focus on how we can understand God more. But this psalm revealed to us how God sees us, how our Creator sees each of us. It reveals to us the heart of the Father. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know where I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You helm me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Through these six verses, the psalmist describes God's absolute knowledge of us. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. When do you claim to know a person? When do you claim to know a person? Well, knowing a person has many levels, right? There are those mere acquaintances, people we just happen to bump into each other, happen to just the cashier that you pay your groceries on. And then there are classmates, co-workers, or companions, people that you come to know through some common activities. And then we're friends, good friends, not so good friends. We have your BFFs. And then we have friends who know your darkest secrets. And then we have friends who will bail you out of any situations. And then we have our best man, our besties, our buddies. And then we have our spouse, the one person whom we spent life with. And then there's God, the Creator, who knows us more than we know ourselves. How does God know us? God knows us. God knows when I sit down, when I stand. God knows my thoughts. Not only knows, he discerns. He evaluates. He ascertains my thoughts from afar. He searches out my path. He goes looking for it. He's eager to find it. He desires to know where I go, when I go, how I go, or how I not go. He studies my behaviors. He understands it. Not only does he understand it, he makes an effort to understand it. He wants to know, become acquainted with all my ways. I don't know if I know anybody to that extent. I think I try to understand my kid to that extent. But other than that, I don't know. But even for that, even for me to understand my kid, I can only go so far. I don't know when he stands and when he sits. I don't know what he does in his room when he closes his door. But God knows. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows my thoughts even before I verbalize them into words. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. It is so high. God knows us far more than we know ourselves. God understands us deeper than we understand ourselves. He knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. He knows my every action. Even before I put thought into action, he knows it. And a psalmist can only say, such knowledge is too wonderful. Maybe it's even incomprehensible. So first we said, God's absolute knowledge of me. The second thing we can find from this psalm is God's intricate formation of me. Verse 13. For you formed my inwardmost part. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I love the ESV translation of this verse and how it uses the word knitted. The Hebrew word here is saka, which translates to cover, to lay over, like having a blanket to cover. But saka also has another meaning of weave together or knit together. We are delicately, meticulously knitted together by God. Every fiber of our being intricately woven together under the careful, watchful eye of our Lord. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Even when we are still being formed inside our mother's womb, even when we're hidden from the world, as the psalmist put it, in the depths of the earth, we are not hidden from God. God's watchful eyes carefully oversees our intricate formation. God's masterful hands knit our body together. And God's meticulous mind plan our every experience. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. If I had to translate this, or if I had to put this into more understandable words, it would be like saying, God, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. God have us in his mind before we lived a single day. He already sees the full fruition of our life. And then the psalmist continues in verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your words. My soul knows it very well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes we misunderstood the word fear in the Bible, particularly the phrase, the fear of the Lord, or in this verse, fearfully. The usage here does not denote any painful emotion or anxiety, or does not relate to any emotion from the expectation of evil, no. Rather, it is a fear conjoined with love and hope. And it's therefore not a slavish dread, but rather a filial reverence. It's wonderment that leads to adoration. Adoration that is grounded in trust, sustained through faith, expressed as love. Psalm 139 is a love poem. A love poem for our Creator. A love poem of us finding comfort and rest in the loving embrace of the gentle Father. When you read it with a negative vibe, it can be very taunting. Oh, God knows what I do every single minute. He knows my thought before I even think about it. But as the psalmist puts it, this is a love poem. It is exactly because God knows that I can find comfort and I can find stillness. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the outermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I don't know where you are on your faith journey, but know this, regardless of where you are, whether you are on your ambitious path, or maybe you have lost your way. Whether you are far away in search for your own desire or your own ambition or your own satisfaction, God is there. God is here. Whether we are buried deep within our darkest mind, or whether we are floating on vanity and our self-glory, God is there. He is there when we are struggling with illnesses. He is there when we are enduring unexplainable pain. He is there when we feel the world is collapsing around us. He is there when it seems there's no one who understands. God is there with us. He chose to be there. He wants to be there. He is there willingly and patiently. Willingly to journey with us in all the messiness of life, in the beauty and the ugliness. He's patiently waiting, quietly, gently nudging us back to the Father's loving embrace. He is relentless for us. He is unwilling to give up on us. If I say, surely the darkness shall come over me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. Verse 19, how precious to me are your thoughts. Oh God, how vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. This is God's complete presence with us. We say God is everywhere. There is no place, no place hidden from Him. But I find comfort in knowing there is no need to hide from Him. There is no need to hide from Him. For He knows you and He loves you. There is no place He won't go with you. There is no void too dark for Him to light a path for you. For He knows you and He loves you. And Jesus Christ has demonstrated this to us when He gave His life for us on the cross. Just as Paul describes in Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before I know Him, my Creator has known me and loves me. Regardless what turmoil or chaos stirs up in life, regardless what darkness or evil appears to consume us, not a day goes by in the world without the sovereign guidance of God's hands. Not a baby is born, nor a life taken outside of God's watchful eyes. I hear news every day, and it brings tears to hear a 17 is stabbed to death. But not a life is taken without God's watchful eyes. Nothing is beyond His control. Nothing is too great, too far, too vast, or too dark for Him. He sees us standing outside of time and space. He sees us and He knows us. He sees us before we are formed. He has us in His thoughts, in His hands, before we can even think. He knows us before we take a single breath. And He is still with us after we have breathed our last breath. Before I know Him, my Creator has known me and He loves me. This is what Paul summarizes in Romans 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He may be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Just as death is not the end point in life, our starting point is not our birth. Before a single cell was divided to form what eventually grows into you and me, God already has us in His thoughts. We existed in His thoughts before time and space were created. Can I invite you to close your eyes? I want to extend two invitations this evening. As a response to what God has shown through Psalm 139. My first invitation is for those who you already call Jesus your Lord and your Savior. Do you desire to put more faith, more trust in God? For Him to lead you to where He thinks is best for you? I know we all have our desires and our wants. We have our plans, our dreams. But I'm not asking you to let those go. Rather, I want you to bring those before Jesus. Tell Him what you want. Tell Him what you desire. But would you ask Him also, is this what you want? Is what I'm thinking, what I'm dreaming is the best for me? Do you believe your God cares about what you want and He wants the best for you? Do you believe your God has your best interest in mind? Do you trust the path that He has planned, the path that He has in mind, might be, just might be, a better one? Do you desire to put more faith and trust in God? To relinquish your control? Say that, Lord,
take my life and let it be what you desire of me. Your will be done on me. If you desire such thing, if this is your prayer, can I invite you to stand? If this is your prayer, if this is what you willingly relinquish, I invite you to stand. It takes boldness. It takes guts. You don't know what God has planned. But do you trust He is there to journey with you every single step of the way? And that is His promise. That is what He has promised. For I will never let you go. My hands are always with you. My second invitation is to those who just recently comes to church. You're getting to know this Jesus Christ. Having here the life path that we've talked about this past 2 weeks, that life does not end at death, and life did not begin at birth. For we existed long before God, long before we know God. Do you want to know this God more? You see, God knows you already. Well, for God, He formed you. Before you know Him, He knows you. He has known you. But do you want to know Him? Do you want to know Him, who He is, why He loves you the way He did? If there is such a person, I invite you to stand also. If you want to know this Jesus more, who He is, why He loves you to such an extent, I invite you to express it by standing. Let us all bow down in a word of prayer. Our Father Creator, we thank You for You've known us. You have us in Your mind before we know You, before we take our first breath, before the creation of the earth. You already have us in Your mind. And as the psalmist said, You have our life, You have our path planned, written down. And Lord, I thank You for it. I thank You for the brothers and sisters that are standing before me, who wants to know You more, who desire You more, and who is stepping out purely from faith and trust of You, that they hand their life to You. So Lord, I ask that You be with them as You have promised every single step of their way. Your love and graciousness and guidance be upon them. Bring them to where they have never dreamt of. Just simply because of their love to You, towards You, in response of You. And I also want to pray for those who are willing to want to know You more. Lord, I ask that You show Yourself to them. Jesus, You said, those who knock, You will open the door. So Lord Jesus, reveal Yourself. thank you. Thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name we pray.